Taksusamritam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Pagadamayam Vadati Sapandantikam Vanshakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. In the beginning of Sanat Kumar's instructions to Prithu Maharaj, he's brought out the conclusion right in the beginning as to the process of advancing in Krishna consciousness. And that conclusion is increased steadfast, means increases, but sometimes our attachment to Krishna increases, but then it goes decreases very quickly. But increasing increases in steadfast what? Attachment to the Supreme Lord, who is fully transcendental. Attachment for the Supreme Lord can be increased by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, applying bhakti yoga in one's life, worshipping the Lord, and hearing and chanting about the glories of the Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Personality of Godhead. So one's attachment to Krishna has to increase. And that comes so much through hearing. And that will liberate one. The devotees should gradually increase the culture of devotional service. How? By constantly hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How? By hearing constantly of the qualities of the glories of the Lord, the pastimes, activities, guna rup, lila. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of devotees. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily be fixed in the transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The pastimes are like ornaments decorating the ears of devotees. Just like if you're wearing some type of an earring. No matter where you go, the earring will be with you. It is the ornament of the ear. So similarly, no matter where we go, the pastimes of Krishna should ornament our ear. And then that will burn, like fire burns wood, that will burn all the coverings over the soul. And then one will become liberated. And he will have no other interest, as text 28 explains, in anything except fulfilling the desires of the Lord. And if we don't do that, if we don't take this route, what happens is we become attracted to other things and deviated from our natural original consciousness. We forget about Krishna and we acquire knowledge based on illusion, and the soul becomes lost, forced to go into the cycle of birth and death. So therefore the admonition is in text 32, there is no other obstruction, no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest, one's own self-interest, than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. So when we lose our perspective about what is important and pleasing to us in our life, that is the greatest obstacle in self-realization. And then, what is the result of that? one becomes devoid of knowledge and he enters into species of life like those of trees and stones. So therefore, try, don't enjoy. Sanatakumara explains in 34. Don't enjoy hedonistically. Don't think that life is meant to do whatever you want. No, even if you want some sense gratification or whatever, or to act piously, religiously, or gain some money, or to get liberated, follow the Shastra when one does this. But ultimately, in text 35, explains that don't try for things that are temporary, that will be destroyed, because they have no permanent existence. We should keep away from them. So that was the basic instructions that Sanat Kumar gave to Prithu Maharaj and everyone. Through his instructing Prithu Maharaj, he's instructing everyone. So now, in the next 37, 38, 39, and 40, he's going to come to the conclusion or the essence of the process. He says in text 37, Sunat Kumar advised the king therefore my dear king, after understanding all this, try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is living within everyone's heart along with the individual soul and each and every body. Know that Krishna is with us within the heart at all times, regardless of the particular body that we're inhabiting, that we live within, that the soul is within. There's so many different types of bodies. There are creepers who just cling to things, and there's little bugs and flies and amoebas and microbes and big giants, big huge whales. So many different types of bodies and human beings, civilized and uncivilized, monkeys, orangutans. So the Lord, regardless of the body, whether the body is moving or non-moving, a tree or a cheetah, the Lord is there within everyone's heart. The individual souls are fully covered by the gross material body and subtle body made of the life, air, and intelligence. So the soul, the actual living soul, is covered. His life, his knowledge, his true existence, his consciousness is covered, blocked by these different coverings. And we've just heard the process of removing these coverings. And now he's going to summarize in these four verses. And Ashtanga Yoga is the way to remove the coverings in that mechanical way. And in about a little more than half way down, the purport Prabhupada explains, the presence of the Supreme Soul and the individual soul within the body can be perceived by anyone. So sometimes we wonder, we hear that we're not our body, but we're souls. So if you'd like, you can stand up. And you can. We have the front side and then the flip side. Wait, first, beat bag. Yes. See? Sometimes we hear that we are not this body. Please, turn. I am a spirit soul. Sometimes we hear this. But it can be realized by anyone. Perceived by anyone by the fact that as long as the individual soul and the super soul are both living within the body is always shining and fresh. But it's... No, I was going to ask you if you could demonstrate this one. But then I decided, nah, not right. But as soon as the super soul and the individual soul give up possession of the gross body, it immediately decomposes. No, don't do it. One who is spiritually advanced, and it's true that as soon as the moment the moment the soul leaves the body with the, accompanied by the super soul, the moment it leaves the body, the life is clearly, obviously, and apparently gone. And immediately the body starts decomposing, falling apart. Immediately. It doesn't waste a moment. So one who is spiritually advanced can thus understand the real difference between a dead body and a living body. So we are all living bodies. Unfortunately, we are not living often as souls, but we are within bodies, identifying with the body. But it is not the body that it is alive any more than a car is alive. It's the driver who's alive. So one who is spiritually advanced can thus understand the difference between a dead body and a living body. In conclusion, one should not waste his time by so-called economic development and sense gratification, but should cultivate spiritual knowledge to understand the super soul and the individual soul and their relationship. In this way, by advancement of knowledge, so there's the negative knowledge, I am not the body, vyatirek, and the positive knowledge, what I am a soul. But I'm not alone, there's chetra chetra gya, gyanam gyam. So to know that one is a soul, and there's a super soul, then the knowledge becomes more complete. And to know the relationship with the super soul, that I am the servant of the Lord, the super soul is the Lord and I am his servant, then the knowledge becomes still more complete. That is called sambandhagyan. And then we learn the process of awakening that, living in that relationship, and that is called abhideya tattva. And then finally, we come to the platform when the soul's consciousness is no longer contracted and compressed, but it's fully expanded to its limits. That is called prayojan, or love for Krishna. And that is the ultimate goal of life. It is said, therefore it is said that if one takes to the path of liberation, even rejecting his so-called duties in the material world, he is not a loser at all. But a person who does not take to the path of liberation, yet carefully executes economic development and sense gratification, he loses everything. People don't want to take the spiritual life because they're afraid of what they're going to lose, give up so many things. But everything that one will lose by taking to spiritual life is doomed. It's lost anyway. We can't keep it. So therefore, we take to spiritual life and gain. If we can give up something that we're going, just like if we found out that whatever possessions we have, think of your most prized possession. You have one in your mind? Your most prized possession? Think of it. Material possession. And think if you found out you were going to lose it in a half hour, but you had an opportunity to trade it during that time when you temporarily have it, but you know for sure you're going to lose it, you can trade it for something worth billions of dollars. How quickly we would offer that and think we have the greatest of deals. And that's really the case. Tarapa dhruvam artadam. Dolabam manushya janma. Tarapa dhruvam artadam. To give up the temporary to gain the highest of wealths is the fortune that human life affords. If a person out of sentiment or for some other reason takes to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and in due course of time does not succeed in coming to the ultimate goal of life or falls down due to lack of experience, there is no loss. But for a person who does not take to devotional service yet executes his material duties very nicely, there is no gain. Amen. 38. So we should understand that we're souls and there's a super soul, and we should surrender to him. the super soul. Now, who is that super soul? Previously, he's been described as transcendental. What does that mean? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, 38. He manifests himself as one with the cause and effect within this body. Now, what does that mean? He manifests himself as one with the cause and effect within the body. That means that Krishna is the cause, ultimately the cause of everything that happens within this body and without, outside. And also, he's not only the cause, the thing that's ultimately pushing everything, but also he's the effect. He is none different from anything. Vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam senastito jagat. So there is nothing but Krishna. There is nothing separated from Krishna. He is both the cause and effect in the material world. When we look at the beginning of creation, he is the Naimittikara and the Upadankara. He is the ingredients of the material world, and that which pushes the ingredients at every step to manifest into the material elements and then the objects composed of the material world. So he is none different from anything. He is everything in that sense. But one who has transcended the illusory energy by deliberate consideration, which clears the misconception of a snake for a rope, in other words, not understanding what is true and what is not true, because one can think that all that exists is these things in the material world. That's if one thinks that there's nothing beyond the material world, one is a materialist. And then one can see that there's nothing separate from God. Aham Brahmasmi. That everything is spirit. Sarvam Idam Kalav Brahman. That everything is Brahman. So one can see that there is nothing but what this material elements are, or one can see there is nothing but spirit. And it's true, in one sense. There is nothing but spirit. Everything that we see is none different from Krishna. But to mistake these things as the absolute truth, either of those two realizations, one doesn't understand that the Paramatma, or to put it the other way, when one is free from illusion and the mistake of a rope for a snake, or thinking something is what it isn't, when one is free from all illusion, he understands that the Paramatma is eternally transcendental to the material creation. He's not different from the material creation. Krishna, who is within everyone's heart, who is ultimately his Kiridakshay Vishnu, the first expansion of Karnadakshay Vishnu, who is coming from ultimately from Krishna, expansion of expansion of expansion from Krishna. Everything is coming from him, everything is resting upon him, nothing is separate from him, but yet he is completely separate from everything. He has an existence. That Supreme Lord has an existence that has nothing to do with this existent material world, that he is beyond and transcendental. So he is eternally transcendental. So when one is free from illusion, this is what one understands. That yes, everything rests upon God, but yet he is completely separate. Completely beyond. And he's situated in pure internal energy. He's situated in the spiritual world. Thus the Lord is transcendental to all material contamination. So, in the previous verse, we heard that the living entity should take to spiritual life. There is no loss. He must take to spiritual life. And understand the Supersoul, the Lord, who is with us, just waiting for us to turn to Him fully. And who is that Lord? Because before we turn to Him, We have to know who we are turning to. So here in this verse, it's describing if when the unillusioned understanding of reality is that although everything is resting upon Him, He is none different from anything and everything in the material world, yet He is beyond it all, living, situated, purely, transcendental, living in Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world, engaging in His own pastimes of the internal energy, which has nothing to do with the material world. And to that Lord, who is everything yet beyond everything, this verse concludes, unto Him only must one surrender. So that whom we give ourselves up to, that transcendental Lord, who is so powerful that everything rests upon Him, but yet He is completely separate. So He's the cause, the effect, He's everything, but yet He is different from everything, separate. Text 39 now. Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Swami comments on text 37 by saying, please try to, this is what Sanat Kumara is explaining, please try to understand the truth I will now give you. He then carefully gives the instructions, the final instructions that Sanat Kumara wants to give, the conclusive instructions that he wants to give Preet Maharaj. He's going to give those in text 39 and 40. So this is the comment of Srila Sridhar Swami. And what are those verses? We're going to read those now. First I'll read the Sanskrit of 39, then the English translation, Prabhupada's English translation, and then we'll read 40, and then we'll read some of the purports. So here is the conclusion of Sanat Kumara's teaching. We've heard we should give ourselves to the Lord, who is the Super Soul, who is transcendental. And in text 39, Yat Pada Pankaja Palasa Velasa Bhaktya Karma Sayam Grihitam Udgratayan Tishanta Tadvanna Rikta Matayo Yatayo Piruda Shroto ganastam maranam bhajavasudevam yathara pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. That means yat, whose, pada. What does pada mean? Feet. Pankaj. Palasa. Palas. Anyone know what that means? Pedals or toes. So his lotus feet, one should surrender to the pedals of the Lord's lotus feet, which are like his toes. The devotees, so here's the conclusion, who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, can very easily overcome the hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, Sanat Kumara says to Preet Maharaj, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. And text 40. The ocean of nescience, of ignorance, is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and penances to cross that ocean, we recommend that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. So we'll read the purport to 39. So this is the conclusion. How anyone, regardless of one's position, even if one is completely entangled in materialistic life and desires, How can he get freed from that? If he's fruitively entangled, how can he become freed? He should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like a boat, and they are soft like a lotus flower, and soft and pinkish like a lotus flower. And this is how to cross over neshes, which is compared to like an ocean. They are the boat. So read Prabhupada's purport 239. There are three kinds of transcendentalists trying to overcome the influence of the modes of material nature. The jnanis, yogis, and bhaktas. All of them attempt to overcome the influence of the senses, which is compared to the incessant waves of a river. Does anyone have that experience? That the desires coming from the senses are just like the waves of a river that continuously just keep on pushing forward. The waves of a river flow incessantly, and it is very difficult to stop them. Similarly, the waves of desire for material enjoyment are so strong that they cannot be stopped by any process other than bhakti yoga. The bhaktas, by their transcendental devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord, become so overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. This is the process that makes those pushing desires that are so powerful and incessant. This is the process that minimizes them till they are insignificant and allows us, therefore, to overcome them. And that is by the bliss of transcendental devotional service to the Lord's lotus feet. They become so overwhelmed with transcendental bliss that automatically their desires for material enjoyment stop. The yogis and jnanis who are not attached to the lotus feet of the Lord simply struggle against the waves of desire. They are described in this verse as riktamataya, which means devoid of devotional service. In other words, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to be freed from the desires of material activities, actually become more and more entangled in false philosophical speculation or strenuous attempts to stop the activities of the senses. As stated previously, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Gyaniyatiyasu Vairagyam Janam Chayad Ahetukam. Here also the same point is stressed. In other words, that one should take fully to bhakti. The question was how to overcome, to get the blessings, to get true blessings, how to overcome the material energy, get unentangled, and the answer given is to take fully to bhakti. Bhaja Vasudevam indicates one who is engaged in the loving service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, can easily, very easily, stop the waves of desires. As long as one continues to try to artificially stop the waves of desires, he will certainly be defeated. This is indicated in this verse. One has to try to stop desires is impossible. One has to desire the Supreme in order not to be entangled in inferior desires. Jnanis maintain a desire to become one with the Supreme, but such desire is also considered to be kam, lust. Similarly, the yogis desire mystic powers, and that is also kam. And the bhaktas, not being desirous of any sort of material enjoyment, become purified. There is no artificial attempt to stop desire. Desire becomes a source of spiritual enjoyment under the protection of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. It is stated herein by the Kumaras that the lotus feet of Lord Krishna are the ultimate reservoir of all pleasure. One should therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord instead of trying to unsuccessfully to stop desires for material enjoyment. As long as one is unable to stop the desire for material enjoyment, there is no possibility of becoming liberated from the entanglement of material existence. It may be argued that the waves of a river are incessantly flowing and that they cannot be stopped. But the waves of the river flowed towards the sea. When the tide comes over the river, it overwhelms the flowing of the river, and the river itself becomes overflooded, and the waves from the sea become more prominent than the waves from the river. Similarly, a devotee with intelligence plans so many things for the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness, so many things that the stagnant material desires become overflooded by the desire to serve the Lord. If the spiritual desires do not increase substantially, they will not be powerful enough to overcome the material desires. As confirmed by Yamunacharya, since he has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is always a current of newer and newer desires flowing to serve the Lord, so much that the stagnant desire of sex life becomes very insignificant. Yamunacharya even says that he spits on such desires. Bhagavad Gita also confirms param visvanavartite. The conclusion is that by developing a loving desire for the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, we subdue all material desires for sense gratification. And then the purport of the other second verse about crossing the ocean of the material world on the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord that we should take shelter of. Although there are many methods or boats by which one can cross the ocean, the Kumaras recommend the king take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Just as one would take shelter of a good boat. You're the experienced boatsman over there. How many years did you spend on the ocean?
Years in the Navy, it was half.
Did you cross the ocean? On the good boat? But the boat that is recommended is the lotus feet of the Lord, because this ocean, the ocean of material existence, is so huge it is impossible to cross over by any other means, practically speaking. Non-devotees who do not take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet try to cross the ocean of nescience by other methods, karma, jnana, and yoga, but they have a great deal of trouble. Indeed, sometimes they become so busy simply enjoying their troubles that they never cross the ocean. There is no guarantee that the non-devotees will cross the ocean. But even though they manage to cross, they have to undergo severe austerities and penances. On the other hand, anyone who takes to the process of devotional service and has faith that the lotus feet of the Lord are a safe boat to cross that ocean is certain to cross very easily and comfortably. Prithu Maharaj is therefore advised to take the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord to easily cross over all dangers. Dangerous elements in the universe are compared to sharks in the ocean. Did you see sharks when you were there? Mm-hmm. When you're in a boat, you don't worry about the sharks. But when you're on a surfboard, you do worry about them. Even though one may be a very expert swimmer, he cannot possibly survive if he is attacked by sharks. One often sees that so many so-called swamis and yogis sometimes advertise themselves as competent to cross the ocean of nescience and to help others cross. But in actuality, they are found to be simply victims of their own senses. Instead of helping their followers to cross the ocean of nescience, such swamis and yogis fall prey to maya, represented by the fair sex, woman, and are thus devoured by the sharks in that ocean. So that concludes the instruction of Sanat Kumar to Prithu Maharaj there. And as an addition to that, I'd like to put on Prabhupada saying something very much parallel.
So, you can have your churches, temple or mosque, but if you do not develop your tendency to hear about God, then it will not be successful. Samaeva hi kevalam. Samaeva hi kevalam. dharma sanskrita dharma sanskrita punja vishakshina papadriya. Look, Father, and Indri, by going daily to the temple or to the church or to the mosque or anywhere, any religious building or institution, if you do not develop your propensity to hear about God, then you have wasted your time. Somebody invisible, going and coming, it is simply labor, doesn't it? So that is the test. Therefore, either in temple or in church and mosque, there must be regular recitation on the top of God. Otherwise people will lose interest. And the churches and temples have to be closed. So that talks of God is here in Krishna consciousness. Because our God is not impersonal, boy. No. He is the Supreme Person, Krishna. You can see personally how he is standing, how he is enjoying with his eternal consort, lover, Srimati Radharani. Here is God. Actually, God is not engaged in punishing somebody. Original law. God is engaged in enjoying with his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is enchanting Krishna and Krishna is enchanting Radha. This is the business of God. Dvye lage uhra hui. In the Charitana Charitamrita, it is said that when Krishna comes before Radharani, she becomes so much enlightened by seeing the beauty of Krishna that she becomes more beautiful. And as soon as Radharani becomes more beautiful, Krishna becomes enlightened and he becomes more beautiful. So unlimitedly, there is competition of becoming more beautiful. Duhe lagi hura. That is this way. Competition. Because in the spiritual world, everything is unlimited. So unlimitedly, both of them becoming beautiful. And both of them are in the unlimited. This is Krishna consciousness. So similarly, if we develop our propensity to hear about God and His activities with His cowherd boyfriend, with His girlfriend Gopi, with His mother, with His father, with His teacher, so many. Everything is imitation, perverted reflection. Here also we have got those relationships between father and the son, relationship between conjugal lover, the boy and the girl, relationship between friend and friend, relationship between master and servant, everything is here also. But because they are material, they do not stand. I am servant of somebody, if he does not pay me salary, I give up his salary. I am friend of somebody, if my intention is not fulfilled, then I give up that friendship. My love with a boy or with a girl is there, but as soon as there is some discrepancy, there is divorce. So here everything is perverted. And so many faulty ideas. But this very thing is there in the kingdom of God. In relationship with God, Krishna. And there everything is eternal. By becoming servant of God, you eternally enjoy Him as master. By becoming a friend of God, you enjoy eternal friendship. By becoming father and mother of God, you enjoy the parental affection between father and son. And by becoming lover of God, you become eternally happy. So, unless you hear about these things, then how can we intensify to go to God? Just like when I hear about some country, that this country is like this, and there is certain such happiness and certain such enjoyment, then we think of making a tourist list to go there. Therefore, to go back to home, back to Godhead, unless we hear about Him, how can we incline? Therefore, God comes. Krishna comes. He manifests His pastimes in Vrindavan. How is dealing with friend, servant, mother, father, lover, so that we may be inclined to go back to home, back to home. This is God's mercy. Therefore, executing religious principle means the result must be to develop our propensity to hear about God. No padre, the nothing. This rati, rati means just like rati is called sexual appetite. The Goswamis, they describe rati. How rati is explained? Jubati nanagatha juno. Just like young boy and young girl, they meet together. Immediately, their sex impulse become agitated. It hasn't got to be taught. Natural. He wants to talk or she wants to talk. So, this is called rati. Spontaneous attraction. This is called, it has not to be taught. Spontaneous. So, as soon as there is spontaneous attraction to hear of our God, that we mean that we are attaining perfection in the world. So if you are going on as a hackneyed program to the church, to the temple or to the mosque, but there is no spontaneous attraction for hearing about God, then it is simply little, simply waste of time, that's all.
So after hearing these very powerful instructions of Sanat Kumar, Prithu Maharaj began to respond. O Brahmana, O powerful one, formerly Lord Vishnu showed me His causeless mercy, indicating that you would come to my house. And to confirm that blessing, you have all come. My dear Brahmana, you have carried out the order thoroughly because you are also as compassionate as the Lord. It is my duty, therefore, to offer you something, but all I possess are but remnants of food taken by great saintly persons. What should I do? The idea is that everything in the world, the king doesn't think that things belong to him. Rather, he is governing on behalf of the brahmanas who own everything. So if everything belongs to the brahmanas, the king doesn't have anything to give them, any way to reciprocate with them. That's what he's thinking. Text 44. Therefore, my dear brahmanas, my life, wife, children, home, furniture, and household paraphernalia, my kingdom, strength, land, and especially my treasury, are all offered to you. Prabhupada quotes in the purport, at the end of the purport, he says, if everything, it has already been admitted that all the king's property belonged to the brahmanas, and that Prithu Maharaj was simply using it for the welfare of the state. If it were actually the property of the brahmanas, how could it be offered again to them? In this regard, Shripad Sridhar Swami has explained that this offering is just like the servant's offering of food to his master. The food already belongs to the master, for the master has purchased it, But the servant, by preparing food, makes it acceptable to the master and thus offers it to him. In this way, everything belonged to Prithumaraj. Everything belonging to Prithumaraj was offered to the Kumaras. Prithumaraj was feeling so grateful due to the instructions of the four Kumaras. So he offers everything to him, to them. Since only a person who is completely educated according to the principles of Vedic knowledge deserves to be commander-in-chief, ruler of the state, the first to chastise, and the proprietor of the whole planet, Prithumaraj offered everything to the Kumaras. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that one who is trained by the Vedic principles, he knows, the king, the ruler knows that it doesn't belong to either him or the citizens, everything belongs to Krishna. Prabhupada explains in the purport. The modern theory of dialectical communism, set forth by Karl Marx and followed by communist governments, is not perfect. According to Vedic communism, no one in the state should ever starve. Presently, there are many bogus institutions which are collecting funds from the public for the purpose of giving food to starving people. But these funds are invariably misused. According to the Vedic instructions, the government should arrange things in such a way that there will be no question of starvation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that a householder must see to it that even a lizard or a snake does not starve. They also must be given food. In actuality, however, there is no question of starvation because everything is the property of the Supreme Lord, and he sees to it that there is an ample arrangement for feeding everyone. It is said, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kamam. The Supreme Lord supplies the necessities of life to everyone, and there is no question of starvation. If anyone starves, it is due to the mismanagement of the so-called ruler, government, or president. So he continues glorifying in this way. We'll read just two more verses till in the 47, we'll read 46 and 47. The Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Sudras eat their food by virtue of the Brahmin's mercy. It is the Brahmins who enjoy their own property, clothe themselves with their own property, and give charity with their own property. So this is the Vedic perspective on government and the proper use of wealth, that everything is under the guidance of the Brahmins. Everything. And not acting in that way brings so many impossible situations, difficult situations. We'll read a little of the purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped with the words Namo Brahmanya Devaya, which indicate that the Supreme Lord accepts the Brahmanas as worshipable gods. The Supreme Lord is worshipped by everyone, yet to teach others he worships the Brahmanas. Everyone should follow the instructions of the Brahmins, for their only business is to spread Shabda Brahma, or Vedic knowledge, all over the world. Whenever there is a scarcity of Brahmanas to spread Vedic knowledge, chaos throughout human society results. Since Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they do not depend on others. In actuality, everything in the world belongs to the Brahmanas, and out of their humility, the Brahmanas accept charity from the Kshatriyas or kings and the Vaishyas or merchants. Everything belongs to the Brahmanas. But the Kshatriya government and the mercantile people keep everything in custody like bankers. And whenever the Brahmanas need money, the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas should supply it. So this is not usually the way it works, though, in the contemporary world. And then text 47. Prithumaraj continued. He was feeling that he got something eternal, eternally for his benefit, that helped him eternally. And how would it be possible to reciprocate with the material, ephemeral, temporary possessions that he has? So we'll read this purport. It's quite interesting. Here's the verse. Prithumaraj continued, how can such persons who have rendered unlimited service by explaining the path of self-realization in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and whose explanations are given for our enlightenment with complete conviction and Vedic evidence, how can such persons be repaid except by folded palms containing water for their satisfaction? Such great personalities can be satisfied only by their own activities, which are distributed amongst human society out of their unlimited mercy. There's Srila Prabhupada's purport. Great personalities of the material world are very eager to render welfare service to human society. But actually, no one can render better service than one who distributes the knowledge of spiritual realization in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All living entities are within the clutches of the illusory energy. Forgetting their real identity, they hover in material existence, transmigrating from one body to another in search of a peaceful life. Since these living entities have very little knowledge of self-realization, they are not getting any relief, although they are very anxious to attain peace of mind and some substantial happiness. Saintly persons like the Kumaras, Narada, Prahlad, Janaka, Sukadev Goswami, and Kapiladev, as well as the followers of such authorities as the Vaishnava Acharyas and their servants, can render a valuable service to humanity by disseminating knowledge of the relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. Such knowledge is the perfect benediction for humanity. Knowledge of Krishna is such a great gift that it is impossible to repay the benefactor. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj requests the Kumaras to be satisfied by their own benevolent activities in delivering souls from the clutches of Maya. The king saw that there was no other way to satisfy them for their exalted activities. The word Vinoda Patram can be divided into two words, Vina and Udapatram, or can be understood as one word, Vinoda Patram, which means joker. A joker's activity simply arouses laughter, and a person who tries to repay the spiritual master or teacher of the transcendental message of Krishna becomes a laughingstock, just like a joker, because it is not possible to repay such a debt. The best friend and benefactor of all people is one who awakens humanity to its original Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. For Kumaras ki jai. Prithu Maharaj ki jai. Gauravakam ki jai. Vasant Panchami ki jai. Gopinath ki jai. Srimati Radharani and Angamanjari ki jai. Vrindavan Vrindavan Vasi Vrinda ki jai. Okay, tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we will finish this chapter 22 of the fourth canto. And then it will be time for Prithu Maharaj to go back home, back to Godhead, to leave this world. And we'll begin that next week.